Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, July 8th. This is Susan Over. We will begin this section with Sonic Helps Teacher with Math Project. Normal. April Sherman, a math teacher at Normal Community West High School, has received funding for her project, Using Robots to Learn and Apply Math from Sonic Drive-In and its LimeAids for Learning initiative. Sonic provided $746, which will be used to purchase Spiro Mini programmable robots. Students will use them to apply and reinforce math concepts. They are learning. End of article. Charities Plan Rappel Fundraiser. Normal. Community VIPs and others will have the chance to rappel off the roof of the 9-story Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal and Child Protection Network. The Over the Edge event, set for October 11th and 12th, allows individuals, teams, groups, or companies to raise money for local youth and earn a chance to rappel off the hotel. 10 community VIP will rappel on October 11th. On October 12th, any individual who has raised $1,000 or more will have the chance to do that rappel. Information and registration is at fundraiser.com/missionspossible2019. fundraiser.com/missionspossible2019. End of article. Food Bank Helps Texas Flood Victims. Normal. Midwest Food Bank of Normal is sending disaster relief to help victims of flooding in South Texas. At the request of the Salvation Army, a truckload of family food boxes left the Twin Cities on July 1st, and another will leave today. In addition to those food boxes, hygiene kits and cleaning supplies will be included on the second load. Family food boxes contain enough shelf-stable food to feed a four-person family for four to five days, excuse me, to help cover that cost of the supplies or the fuel needed to transport them. Visit MidwestFoodBank.org. Click Donate. On the donation form, select Disaster Relief for the designation. End of article. Preparing for Legal Pot, Bloomington. Jerry Johnen isn't worried about how recreational marijuana will affect his business. Quote, I'm not saying I want a bunch of druggies working here or anything, but we don't ever have any type of testing. I have 4 employees. If they aren't doing the job, we don't retain them. I have never had an issue in 27 years in business, he said. If we were a larger employer where they have machines and stuff, it would come into play. But it affects me in no way at all. End quote. Johnen is owner of Smoker's Choice, a Bloomington tobacco shop he said may in fact benefit from smokers, but his feelings are reflected by some in the central Illinois business community who do not expect the January 1st rollout of adult-use cannabis to be a significant problem. Others are more cautious. Quote, we certainly do not have the answers for what is about to happen, said Zach Dietmeyer, vice president of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. But all sides to this debate will be learning and better understanding the task of implementation and the impact on our local economy. End quote. Starting January 1, Illinoisans age 21 and older can have as much as 30 grams, or about an ounce of flower, 5 grams of cannabis concentrate, or 500 milligrams of THC, the chemical that gets users high, in a cannabis-infused product. Though the substance remains illegal on the federal level. That new state law was signed last week by Governor Pritzker, a Democrat who made legalizing recreational marijuana a central focus of his campaign in his first legislative session. Illinois is the 11th state to legalize recreational use of the drug. 2 Democrats, Chicago lawmakers, State Rep Kelly Cassidy and State Senator Heather Steens led that charge on the proposal. Negotiating around such issues as homegrown pot, medical marijuana users will be able to grow their own plants up to 5, and expunging drug-related criminal records. State Senator Jason Berrickman, a Bloomington Republican, shaped the proposal, even publicly withdrawing his support at one point to convince Democrats to continue negotiating. He later voted for that bill. Dan Lynn, Executive Director of Marijuana Advocacy Group NORML Normal, Illinois, said state lawmakers were careful to respect a business's ability to stay drug-free despite legalization while drafting the bill. Though state law prohibits discrimination against employees for use of a product that's lawful when they're not at work, employers can still implement anti-drug policies, which include testing and discipline under the marijuana policy, said James O., a member of Chicago law firm Epstein Becker Green. Dietmeyer from the EDC said specialized testing and workplace requirements will have to adjust as we see this process develop. Lynn from Normal worries many companies will keep their current policies. Currently, prospective employees are tested for drug use and not hired if they fail, but active employees aren't tested unless a company has reason to believe they're impaired on the job. A spokesperson for State Farm, which employs about 15,000 in Bloomington, said the insurance company conducts pre-employment drug testing and for-cause substance abuse drug testing. But random drug testing is not conducted at State Farm for the general employee population, and that won't change. In both instances, if an applicant or employee's drug test came back positive, the State Farm medical director would conduct a review, said Gina Morse Fisher, a public affairs specialist. Decisions about employment are then made on a case-by-case basis. House Transportation Chairman Pete DeFazio is worried about safety risk for the trucking industry with marijuana use and that Congress should promote study of a real-time testing system, according to Roll Call, which covered Congress and politics. The publication also said a trucking industry lobbyist said legalization is becoming a major hurdle for hiring drivers and maintaining a drug-free workplace. Illinois legislators have said they want better ways to know whether someone has used marijuana, especially when police conduct a roadside sobriety test. That is among issues the state is still working out. End of article. Event to benefit Cancer Center, Normal. Central Illinoisans can raise money for the Community Cancer Center while raising awareness of the plight of monarch butterflies and honoring loved ones during a community event next week. The fourth annual butterfly release will be at 10 a.m. on July 20th, which is Saturday, at the Cancer Center, 407 East Vernon in Normal. The doors will open to the public at 9 a.m. More than 450 monarch butterflies are expected to be released, said event chairwoman Sue Farrell-Stroyan. More than 600 people attended that event last year, she said. Quote, it's joyous, said Farrell-Stroyan, a retired teacher. It is an expression of hope and peace. The emergence of the butterfly is a sign of renewal of life. Its flight symbolizes freedom and happiness. Deanna Frauchi, a member of the event committee, noted that attendees usually purchase butterflies in memory or honor of a loved one. It is quite emotional when the butterflies are released, realizing they are all going out in memory or in honor of someone, end quote. Butterflies for release may be purchased from the Cancer Center's website, cancercenter.org. They are $25. Proceeds go to upkeep of the Cancer Center gardens and grounds and for Cancer Center projects, Farrell-Stroyan said. More than $12,000 was raised last year, said Farrell-Stroyan, noting the event grows each year. In addition to supporting the Cancer Center and honoring loved ones, the event also is intended to respond to the plight of monarch butterflies. Monarch butterflies are endangered because of deforestation, climate change, and pesticide use. The butterflies come from a butterfly farm in Michigan, Frauchi said. They are in a dormant state and kept in special envelopes in cold storage. Attendees who registered for the butterfly release will be handed an envelope with their butterfly at 9:40 a.m. on July 20th. When the envelopes are opened at 10 a.m., those butterflies should be out of their dormant state and ready to fly, Frauchi said. In addition to the butterfly release, the event, which continues to 11 a.m., will include children's activities, an alpaca exhibit, and a lemonade and cookie stand. Quote, you can buy a monarch or just come to the event and be a part of it, Farrell Stroyan said, end quote. The Cancer Center, a joint venture of Advocate Broman Medical Center and OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center, offers services to about 200 cancer patients each day. End of article. Volunteers help names on war memorial shine. Bloomington. The letters on markers commemorating the names of lives lost in the Korean and Vietnam Wars are bright and legible again at the memorial at Miller Park, thanks to the efforts and elbow grease of a few volunteers. The Korean-Vietnam Memorial was dedicated in 1988 in the northwest corner of the park. Despite previous cleanup projects over the years, it had deteriorated, with names on many of the markers becoming quite faded, said Bobby Muse, Bloomington Park Superintendent. We had to do something, he said. Muse was testing some cleaning procedures he had picked up on the internet while a group of people was sprucing up the area around the site in preparation for Memorial Day activities. The picture showed Bridget Logston and Brad Orrick, both of Bloomington, working on cleaning and repainting name plaques at that memorial park in June. One member of the group was Bridget Logston Isted, whose father, James Logston, was a Vietnam War veteran. Quote, she came up to me and said, I've been wanting to do that for years, said Muse, who was happy to turn the project over. I knew she was passionate about it, end quote. Logston Isted said her mother, Carol Logston's son, Dalton Arbuckle, and boyfriend, Brad Orrick, helped. She estimates about 100 hours have been put into that project, refurbishing more than 80 markers. Most of those markers have two names honoring those missing or killed in action in the two wars. Quote, we joined as a team. I'll keep doing this as long as I can, she said. I'm hoping it will last 5 years, but you know, we live in Illinois. The weather takes its toll. Muse said it looks like it would be easy to do, but it is time-consuming. It takes good old elbow grease. The work involves placing a mask or stencil on the granite marker, spraying the letters with special paint, then carefully scraping away the excess paint around letters with a razor before cleaning the granite with mineral spirits. I'm really glad she took this project on, said Muse. Bridget's done a fabulous job. Logston Isted said she was happy to do that work. It gives me a lot of pride because it has to be done, she said. How do you honor a veteran if you're looking at a veteran's name and you don't know who they are? Although the names are once again brightly legible, excuse me, I had to move that, Logston Isted said, there are a few more things that need to be done. Concrete is cracking around the markers, for example. There is also brickwork needing to be done on one side. Logston Isted said she hopes to find some skilled volunteers to do the concrete and brick work. If we don't find the people to come in and help, I have a feeling it's just going to fall, she said. End quote. End of article. Flickfat. Some like it hot. Why would those lovers have especially liked 31 summers ago, back in the summer of 1988 in central Illinois? Answer. It was so hot and dry that one summer, Lake Bloomington all but dried up, and water restrictions were enforced. Those summer of 88 numbers, thanks to Chuck Collins at 25 News, 56 days, wow, of 90 or higher, 9 days of 100 or higher, 3 inches of rain all summer long, making it the driest summer in local history. End of flick fact. Park Pantry seeks liquor okay. Bloomington. The Bloomington City Council is expected to consider a liquor license request tonight that has been opposed by several residents in a West Bloomington neighborhood. Ajit Singh, former owner Hot Spot Grocery and Liquor, 1102 North Hershey Road, wants to open Park Pantry at 906 South Morris Avenue, near Miller Park, to sell all types of packaged alcohol 7 days a week at the convenience store. Singh applied for a PAS liquor license as Puma Enterprise, Inc. The request is listed on the council's consent agenda, which comprises items to be adopted without discussion. When the council meets tonight at 6 p.m. at City Hall, any council member could ask the request be pulled for further discussion and then voted on separately. It is typical to have new liquor licenses on that consent agenda, but both City Manager Tim Gleason and Mayor Terry Renner think the item will be pulled. Quote, my understanding is the Illinois Liquor Commission heard a handful of complaints from some of the residents of that neighborhood. It was based entirely on what their history had been with the previous liquor store convenience center, said Tim Gleason. That store has since closed. Several people also spoke against the request during the council's June 17th Committee of the Whole meeting. Among them was Karen Bays, who said, adding more liquor establishments is not the kind of revitalization needed on the west side. She also expressed concerns about business hours and said the neighborhood has been very quiet since the other business closed. Quote, I think a step in the right direction to address some of those concerns is to shorten hours of operation versus what was originally requested by the new owners. We are taking it in front of the council following recommendation of the Liquor Commission to approve, end quote. On June 11th, the three-member Bloomington Liquor Commission, led by Renner, recommended approval but imposed several conditions. Those include closing at 11 p.m., although the owner can request a change after the first 6 months. In addition, liquor sales must be less than 50% of the store's total revenue. If requested by the commission, the owner must provide invoices to show compliance with that condition. The owner also must install outdoor security cameras and lighting. The former business was a liquor store and the new business is a food pantry store, said Renner. They will sell alcohol, but my idea of a pantry or convenience store like 7-Eleven is that they close at 11 p.m. End of article. Firework and trash blamed for blaze at Normal Garage. A garage in Normal was damaged last Thursday night by a fire caused by firework remnants discarded in a trash can, authorities said. No one was hurt. Quote, whenever there is enough heat, a fire can start. In this case, the firework debris was still hot enough to ignite surrounding materials rather quickly. But sometimes it can take hours before fire will start, said Matt Swaney, public information officer for the Normal Fire Department. Whether it's fireworks, debris, charcoal from a grill, or candles from a birthday cake, make sure the fire is out cold before disposal, he said. Completely submerge anything hot in a bucket of water and soak until thoroughly saturated. Firefighters were called at 915 to 400 Wildberry Drive after a passerby reported smoke coming from the garage of that home. When firefighters arrived, they found smoke coming from the three-car garage and cut through the door to gain entry. Off-duty Normal firefighters and an engine from Bloomington Fire Department were called in to help. Swaney said there was heavy smoke and heat, but the fire was knocked down in about 25 minutes, end quote. The homeowners, who were contacted by a neighbor, arrived home shortly after the fire was under control. The homeowner said the family had been shooting fireworks in their driveway and put fireworks remnants in a garbage can in the garage before the family left home to watch fireworks from Fairview Park. Smoke caused only minimal damage to the house. A dollar estimate for that damage was not available, but the home is insured and the residents were not displaced. Swaney said fireworks start an average of 18,500 fires each year, including 1,300 structure fires, 300 vehicle fires, and 16,900 outside fires. End of article. Officer hurt, handguns taken in Bloomington Normal traffic stop. A Bloomington police officer was injured, but two handguns were removed from the streets when two Central Illinois men were arrested early on Friday in Bloomington. The police officer, who was not publicly identified, was treated at a Bloomington Normal hospital and released. Bloomington Police Lieutenant Tim Stanisa said last Friday. Bloomington police received a call about an armed person at 12:18 a.m. Friday in the 700 block of North Roosevelt Avenue. Police responded, making a traffic stop of a vehicle leaving that area. After stopping the vehicle, police found two handguns. Both men were arrested for unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. During that arrest, one of the men resisted, injuring the police officer. The man who resisted arrest also was arrested for preliminary charges of resisting arrest and driving with a suspended driver's license. End of article. Crime Stoppers. Police seek suspect in drug case, Bloomington. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs public help in finding a person wanted for felony charges. Jacob Temple, 29, is 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 170 pounds. He has brown hair and blue eyes. His last known address was Bloomington. Temple is named on a warrant charging him with delivery of cannabis. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111. 309-828-1111. End of article. Public safety. Weapons. Weapons charges are pending against a normal man. Sean Del Wright, 24, of the 500 block of South Linden Street, is charged with unlawful possession of a firearm by a street gang member, aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, and two counts of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon in an incident on Wednesday in Bloomington. He was jailed in lieu of posting $30,035. DUI. A Lincoln man faces charges for driving under the influence. Jason Skelton, 44, is charged with aggravated driving under the influence, a Class 2 felony for his fourth such alleged offense. He was arrested last Thursday in Bloomington Township. Skelton was jailed in lieu of posting $2,035. Possession of a stolen vehicle. A Bloomington woman is charged with possession of a stolen vehicle. Bobby Case, 54, of Canada Lane, also was charged with aggravated battery. She was jailed in lieu of posting $1,035. End of article. Flick fact. Along I-55 from Pontiac North to the 294 exit near Chicago is officially now the Barack Obama Presidential Expressway. And true or false? There are plans now also from Lincoln to Springfield for that section of I-55 to be named the Barack Obama Senatorial Speedway. Answer. The Barack Obama Presidential Expressway north of Pontiac along I-55 is true, but the Barack Obama Senatorial Speedway south of Lincoln is fully false, although not far-fetched, perhaps. Way back on February 2, 2001, at 12:25 a.m., an Illinois state trooper from Lincoln, Craig Rios, was patrolling that area of I-55 when a black 2000 Jeep suddenly whizzed past mile marker 115 near Elkhart. Ticketed by Rios for doing 90 in a 65 miles per hour zone was then Illinois State Senator Barack Obama. He was very polite and understanding, says Rios. End of article. Kids and adults try something new. How-to Festival fills Bloomington Library with curious learners. Bloomington. Deesha Ray could barely contain her giggles when she tried blowing into a trombone for the first time on Saturday. The 7-year-old tagged along to the Bloomington Public Library with her mom, Smitha Ray, and sister, Avani, who were planning to check out a book. Instead, they found the library's first-ever How-to Festival, packed with kids, teens, and adults trying out new things. Quote, this is awesome, the Bloomington Library providing this, said Smith Ray, snapping a photo of her daughter as she slid a bow across a cello which towered over her. Between the brass string and string instruments brought in by the music shop, Deesha couldn't decide which she liked more, saying they're both good. Sophie Miller, another 7-year-old from Bloomington, took turns on each instrument with her friend Roma Buffington, 8 years old. Sritanai Balam, 14, and Logan Janish, 9, found an electrical power grid supplied by the Center for Math, Science, and Technology at ISU. After some tinkering and instruction from Matthew Hageman, the boys high-fived in triumph when the lights in each building of the Model City turned on. The Model City and power grid was developed as a teaching model and distributed to schools throughout Illinois by students in the instructional design section at the center, Hageman said. As part of the library's efforts to promote lifelong learning, activities included shooting a hockey puck with the ISU hockey team, recycling and composting with the Ecology Action Center, and working out using resistance bands with Nicolette Hersey from the Bloomington Normal YMCA. The variety of activities and the hands-on nature of the festival brought Abigail Shaver and Mitchell Jones to the library. The things that we got to do are so unique, like how to Zentangle, how to paint a cloud is very unique, said Shaver, a student at ISU. It was a good opportunity to come meet people, actually to do something in real life instead of just watch it on YouTube. With the help of Teresa Denham, owner of Tegan and Lou Yarnworks, Shaver said she finally was able to get the hang of knitting. I've tried to follow the pictures and graphs online. It's just because it's a 3D thing. Just for me, my brain, I don't know where the needles are going with the pictures, she said. But when she showed up in person, I was like, okay, now I get it. Now I understand. End quote. End of article. Two men face weapons charges. Bloomington. Two men accused of weapons violations were formally charged Saturday in McLean County Circuit Court. David Castillo, 36, of Hayworth, faces two counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon by a felon and four counts of unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. Keir, K-E-I-R, Spinks, 25, of Normal, is charged with one count of aggravated use of a weapon by a felon and two counts of unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. Both were jailed in lieu of $30,035. Court documents said the charges were related to a report early Friday of an armed person in the 700 block of North Roosevelt Avenue. Officers stopped a vehicle near West Grove Street and North Roosevelt Avenue and took both men into custody. Initial reports Friday from the Bloomington Police Department indicated an officer was injured during that traffic stop, but no formal charges were made. End of article. Man faces 12 counts of child sex assault, Bloomington. A man has been charged with 12 counts of predatory criminal sexual assault against a victim younger than 13. Benjamin T. Carney, 23, was jailed in lieu of $40,035 and ordered to avoid contact with two children, two adults, anyone younger than 18, and a specific address. A probable cause statement in court on Saturday was provided verbally to the judge, court documents said. Those charges are Class 10 felonies, which upon conviction carry a prison term of from 6 to 30 years. End of article. Public safety. In Bloomington, a woman has been charged with meth delivery. Courtney Marler, 30, is charged with unlawful delivery of methamphetamine and unlawful possession of methamphetamine. She was released on a $50,000 personal recognizance bond. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, July 8th. At this time, we will take a short break.